Let's do something very quick.
Okay.
I just want to do a little like affirmation. Ready?
Should I close my eyes?
I'm going to close my eyes.
Okay.
I am not a bad person.
Yes,
You
you
can
are.
say it with me. These are
Oh,
just,
okay. Okay, this is how this is working.
we are
Okay.
not bad people.
We are not bad people.
We are enjoying talking about people and their music and how hard they tried, and we appreciate that.
Am I just supposed to say this blindly?
I don't know because I'm making it up, so I feel bad that you would have to
Okay.
say the
Okay.
things I'm saying. Just believe the things I say. Anything I say in this next 2 hour period is with the best of intentions.
Okay.
And I did enjoy myself. My text message to you was a little dramatic, but it was
Wait, wait,
also
wait. And my text message to you was a little dramatic.
true, but it was complicated. So
Let's get this going.
welcome to Know Your Rights, a music podcast from two guys who know just enough about songwriting to start a podcast about.
Follow Rob
and Colton
as each week we dive into a different band or songwriter and discuss what makes them great,
okay, or otherwise.
Music is law,
and we know our rights.
Let's transition into what this podcast is actually about,
which is legal rights
which is,
for people who
just let's go
are
through our email.
Having a problem with their landlords. I
So
told you this.
Rebecca in Tulsa is having some issues with a speeding ticket she got recently.
We are worldwide, this podcast. People who are listening, hello.
Hello, yes, thank you. Whoever you are in Moscow.
Yeah, we're listening. We hope you're having a good weekend.
Yeah, you're a
listener in
one hell of a Menchina or Gentina.
Yeah. Hey, there you go.
I know. And then, I mean, or you're a Malchik or Diavochka.
Yeah.
And that's the extent of
no.
I have no idea. I know the pronouns.
And now we've lost our listener in Moscow. We apologize. God bless you.
Yeah.
Oh man. Oh my God. So I wanted to ask you about this because this is something that's coming up for you in Default American, and it's something that both of us have done in the past, and that is the Write a Record Challenge.
Yes.
Which
Thank
I
you.
Believe Joe from Leftmore.
Yes, sir.
Is the originator, the creator. We'll have Joe on sometime down the road for sure.
Absolutely. And you know, he and I talked about it because unfortunately we had to skip the actual weekend of it all. I honestly don't even feel like I'm a part of it at this point.
You're just grabbing onto the coattails.
Yeah, we just want to make sure that we take, for anybody who doesn't, a Write a Record Challenge is it started off to where within 24 hours you write and record an album. It could be just acoustic on your phone, whatever, but you have to record it and just live with it, put it out there, and there's no winner. It's
And when was the first one, do you remember? I want to say it was sometime in 2012.
That's what I was thinking, is it was the right before the Mayan calendar was going to end us all,
because I was in Oakland. I remember I did the first one alongside you and a number of other people. I know Joe did it. I think Go Kart Mozart, who I think at that point we named something else. Oh man, so this 22, man, that was 11 years ago. That's wild. Yeah. Okay, so I remember doing that first one alongside you, and it's such a, I think when you hear that, if you're someone who hasn't done a lot of writing, or if you have at any point, like it seems really daunting. Right?
Oh, it's taxing for sure, but it's also freeing because you kind of take the mentality of whatever, you know, it's not an official release, but it is an official release. You know, most people are putting up on their Bandcamp, not on their Spotify, you know, and for those who don't understand that lingo, Spotify or, you know, like Spotify or iTunes, like that's your real release, where Bandcamp, I wish everybody used Bandcamp, but Bandcamp is where you just kind of put everything you have up.
That has been the coolest way to put stuff out. And they, I don't know, I've never had to use it to like actually support myself. So there's probably elements to it that like musicians who are more kind of full-time musicians might have issues with. I don't know, but I've always liked sure. it. I agree though. It's definitely the first time I did it. It was such a cool exercise with like first idea, best idea, mm-hmm. which like if like everyone has a different process. I have different process depending on what I'm doing, what kind of song I'm writing, what's like comes to me. Sometimes it's all at once. And I just do it. And other times it's something I kind of toy with over time. And this was just sit down and whatever the like first riff was, I just went with it. And every line was, there wasn't like a ton of stopping to consider things or like thematic elements or whatever. And I know from that first record I did, I think it's called All of Us Brothers. Yeah. There's stuff on there that I like, I'm still kind of amazed that I wrote like in that amount of time. I'm like really, I'm proud of it.
Yeah, that's how I feel. Default American, we put out our album T, which is the first on that Write a Record Challenge, the one you're talking about, in probably 2012. Yeah. We called it We'll Give You a Moment because when we were making the cover of it, at the very last second, Robbie accidentally cut out the T on it. So just and we were right up against the wire there, you know, and that's why we went back and recreated, because when we were doing it that night, it was just me with this little recorder, and Robbie would come out at one point. I mean, he comes out and he has our pack of cigarettes that we usually, and he's like, write a song about golden deer, slams it down and goes back in to record Of Us Giants. And I was just like, okay, let me write a song.
Good.
Yeah. And all the songs I really like. I hate the one that's up on Spotify, because all Default American songs on Spotify, by the way, everybody, that's not the final master. All of them. We've managed to just muck it up every single time.
I think I'm on Spotify, but I don't know how.
You should be. You definitely should be.
Well, I don't know. Listen,
especially Good Luck With Your War, or that guitar player, man.
So anywho, I think when we have Joe on, we talk more about that amongst other things that Joe Leftmore does. That's really fun. And if you're listening to this now, I don't even know where you can find those. We'll put it on the episode description of the next one we put up. Put it on Bandcamp.
Bandcamp. Honestly, we should just try to get sponsored by Bandcamp, because I want more people to utilize Bandcamp, not musicians to utilize Bandcamp. I feel like only musicians know Bandcamp, where if more of the listeners just went out, you'd find so many things. To me, it's cooler than SoundCloud.
Well, it's great to get, like, I buy a lot of merch from Bandcamp. I bought two different records, like vinyl straight from the band and the, I'm not talking about Alex, but yeah, by the way, Birthday Dad, the Hermit. Up 2 months after the fact.
Yeah.
But it's going to be good. And Alex is going to be here to talk about that. It's going to be
awesome. Yes. And it'll be outdated.
Well, so in the tradition of outdated takes and things we're listening to, what are you listening to this week, the year of our Lord 2023?
I listened to The Dirty Nil last night. They put out another new song. I listened to it once. When you asked me that, you sent me a text last night, extraordinarily late. Again, I just don't understand your sleep schedule.
that was a different, what was it? It was Top Gun Maverick. Blame Top Gun Maverick, yes. Which, by the way,
I've heard from everybody it's amazing.
The last 45 minutes are amazing. Like those like action, fight action. Jet, fighter jet things are yeah, awesome.
Action packed. I get
hour
you.
15 minutes is Anywho, go ahead. Dirty Nil.
Oh, wait, I can just look at our text message. I can't even remember the name of the song. It was really
Celebration.
Cool. Celebration. Yes. Very cool. Fun video. Everybody check it out.
You're like someone who didn't do their homework. Did you not listen fair. To music these last 2 weeks?
Well,
it's because you were sick.
Honestly, it's been a month. Hasn't it been a month, or has it been 3 weeks?
It's been 2 weeks, I think, since we've done this.
Since we last recorded? Has it? Well, yeah, I was sick. I was just sick. And, you know, you would think that you make up more time, but I haven't been sick in so long that this really knocked me out. I spent so much more time in bed just scrolling on my phone.
So last night when I texted you, you went, oh no. And then you went to the first video you saw. It was the Dirty Nil celebration. And you're like, my, done.
I really love the Dirty Nil. This is the second time I've used them as my what I listened to last week. Mm-hmm. And we even discussed it, I think, last episode, that we don't have to do something that's new.
Right.
But that was the other music outside of the AAS that I've listened to.
I'll say this, like, out of total honesty, I thought the first Dirty Nil song that you showed me, I liked it. It's like, I think I said in that previous episode, it's got like the kind of fun pop punk energy to it that I can always dig. This one I was less sold on. It was like very little, it's just like a big breakdown. It actually reminded me of like a Fall Out Boy track. What is it? The one on one with Jay-Z. Or just like
Fall Out Boy and Jay-Z? How did I miss this?
They did a song, it wasn't good. That's why I like this. Thriller.
Poor Jay-Z.
poor everyone, I guess. Yeah. No one won from that situation.
But Pete Wentz doing making music still? Just sorry, Pete.
Yeah, it's about time that we dragged Fall Out Boy. Not good.
No. I mean, I like the what was the song we used to always do it in My Friend Sam just to make a joke about it?
Dance Dance.
Yeah, Dance Dance. We just start it really quick and then go like, no, we're not doing that.
And then we'd like, before anyone took us seriously, we're just like, no.
The worst. We're much cooler than that.
But okay. The Dirty Nil. This is an official Dirty Nil podcast sponsored 2 weeks in a row.
They're a really good band. I think I said it the last time I mentioned them. They don't really change their style, and I'm totally cool with that. They're not trying to reinvent themselves. Totally cool with that. Just keep on rocking. That is rock and roll.
I won't hold that track against them because I really like the first one. And they seem like very nice people. And I'm glad they're doing well. But there you go. They're doing great.
Yeah. I really am interested in that song, by the way. Everybody, it's a good song.
You really didn't sound like it. You were like, good video.
Yeah, I was
like,
pizzazz, whatever. buy it.
That's Lancaster 4. I love it.
Exactly.
Well, I listened to a lot of stuff this week, including, actually, however many weeks it's been, 2 to 3 weeks. It has been a while since I've seen you. By the way, hello.
Hey, man.
We just we slipped right into it, but it's nice to see your face.
I'm starting to get used to it now, to where it's no longer this. It's like, oh, man, Colton, there you are. I'm just like, I got to talk to Colton.
Time to do the Colton.
Yeah, time to do the podcast.
You look good.
Thanks, man.
These are things I should have done before we recorded, but it's nice to see
you. You have in every single episode, it feels like.
I look good too,
Colton. Those headphones really match your eyes.
I was fishing for it, and I finally got a tug on the line. Thank you.
Yes.
My compliment. Yes,
nice cardigan.
Oh, wow. So
I could follow it up with an insult, but I won't because I mean it.
Yeah. You have already, so I don't know why you would stop.
You're right. Let me keep going. No. All right.
So I could probably, I'm going to share now what I was listening to. Thank you. All right. I did have one. It was something that I actually bought because I was so excited. I listened to it on YouTube and it was the Oscar Peterson Trio. It's a jazz trio, right? Oscar Peterson, jazz pianist. And which, like, I don't ever want to kind of frame myself as like, oh, I like know tons about jazz. Like, I studied jazz a little bit in college and started listening to it then. And I think since then it's like little things. Like, I like Max Roach, Miles Davis, which we've talked about already.
Yep.
Like bigger jazz names. And then I've slowly kind of branched my way out to other things. And I kind of just discovered Oscar Peterson, even though I know he's like a bigger name.
Yeah.
But this trio did a number of shows. And this record, which is Oscar Peterson Trio in Tokyo, 1964, I got so excited listening to it. The first track, the Reunion Blues. I don't know if you listened to it yet, Rob. I don't know if you did, but
I haven't gotten a chance yet.
Cool.
You sent me a text message last night.
The drum at 12 o'clock at night.
Yeah, it was
the drummer Ed Thigpen, which is I just like that name, Thigpen.
Well, I mean. If you say jazz drummer, the dude knows what he's doing. You can't just put somebody in a jazz trio that's just like, oh, he's been playing drums for about a year.
When you're editing this, you're gonna like listen to the first like couple of minutes, and there's just like just this cool kind of mini drum solo going into the main group. It's like, but the drum fill going into
I hope that lines up, because you know I'm going to try to line up your humming to that.
I almost think it must be close. I've been listening to it all this morning too. Man, it is so cool. And that whole, it's like an hour and something long performance. And I found the vinyl for it. It's just like double vinyl that they only released in Japan. And I got it on eBay, which like I never use.
That's pretty rad. Yeah, that's pretty rad. I'll check it out, because I mean, I like Stan Getz. When you sent it to me, I instantly thought of the Stan Getz Trio. So I'm like, okay, well, if it's something in that same vein, I can't remember. I think Stan Getz plays like a horn or something like that. But see, I always mix those guys up. For the longest time, I thought Miles Davis was like a pianist.
But is
it, you know, I mean, Tori, I mix everybody up. I jazz is something to where you put it on in the background and you snap your finger to when the song finishes. But it's still really good.
I think lately I've been engaged with it far more than I used to be. Like, it used to be more like I was kind of forced myself to listen to it because it just felt like brain food to me. It was something mm-hmm. I really want to explore this because the world behind it's so interesting. The history.
Yeah, you
want to
get that
so
culture.
Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, but now it's more. I don't know. Like, my relationship to it has changed, and I think like to be like in a jazz trio, like to play drums, which. By the way, if you listen to jazz drummers, you already said this, but it's just a whole other animal, and it's so.
It's legit. That's when you hold the stick kind of to the side.
That underhand.
Right? Yeah, that underhand approach, which I've never gotten, and I fancy myself a decent drummer, but even if I joined a jazz trio, I'm not doing it.
That's. Yeah. I'm overhand, and that's it. That's
overhand.
All you do. I added another one in because. I just knew that you were going to only bring in one band that you had barely listened uh-huh. to. So I had to double up for us.
Yeah. And Colton told me about this right before we hit record.
That's right. I'm getting into the jazz spirit. Everything's syncopated. I'm just letting it groove, man. Hey,
you got to roll with it.
It's the National mm-hmm. off that new record. Off that new record, everybody. I don't know. That was weird when I said that.
You got a future in radio for sure.
The record is called The First Two Pages of Frankenstein. But the track is called Eucalyptus. And Rob, you had never heard The National, right?
No, nope. I'd never even heard the name, which is, for me, that's pretty rare. I usually, the name will spark something.
I wouldn't necessarily call them, like, unknown. They're relatively big, I think. But I do think that knowing, I think maybe a slightly different circle of indie music than you probably mm-hmm. listen to. I think the term that gets used a lot with them is dad rock. So it's like, I think the other band I think of like that is Wilco.
Okay.
It's the dad rock label.
I am familiar with Wilco.
That's right. I always try to parse out what that genre, like, I think I get it. It's like middle-aged white guy music, but I also, I don't know. I don't know if
Who
I
would have thought
that.
You'd be listening to that right now.
I like it. It's really great. And like that song, I mean, you were even listening to it, you were like, oh, it's kind of like moody, very like brooding.
I always use a term. Thank you. I can tell off your face. I'm apparently supposed to talk.
No, you sound like you were going to say something.
I was going to say droney.
Droney.
I was just going to throw another synonym out there for what they kind of sound like. But I love that vibe. I love something that's kind of slow moving and it's kind of. I feel like I use this term too much, but subdued. It feels like it felt really nice. Again, everybody, I listened to it for 30 seconds, but it sounded good. And it had,
you asked like if it builds up, it does and it doesn't. Like I think far more like atmospheric in a lot of ways. And I don't always think that the lyrics are like totally on point. For now and then they have things where I'm like, mm-hmm. well, but the mood of the National, sometimes it's just kind of, it's perfect. And this is like one of those, I think it's already getting people saying they're kind of lampooning themselves. They're being overly moody, overly old man emo.
Yeah.
But I don't know, maybe I'm just an old man emo guy.
Well, for example, we're about to dive into the Yeah, Yeah, Yes.
Yeah.
I had to like really tweak my mindset listening to them. I was like, I don't listen to stuff this energetic that much anymore.
I had to do the same thing, and I was literally about to tell you, I felt old manish, like old man yells at cloud when I was listening to parts of the Yeah Yeah Yeahs. Although some things I feel pretty confident what I'm about to say. But like, let's just say Fever to Tell, like parts of that record, I'm like, man, if I was in high school, like I think I would have way more time for this record.
It would have helped so much, because I think you brought it up in a previous episode to where it's kind of some of the bands we liked were the way they wrote their songs was kind of struggling with, you know, coming into being a sexualized person and kind of struggling with that. Mm-hmm. Karen O could have taught us so many more things if we just listened a little more, because she seems like the perfect the perfect antithesis to that, to that time frame. And she was in there, but it's like she has such a sexuality to her performances, to her vocal performances and her stage performances.
Yeah,
where it's like she's almost the, like, I'm challenging you little boys who are just coming into this. I'm not trying to make you sound like a pedophile, by the way, Karen.
No, you were nailing everything until that last minute, and then you're like, well, let's cut that, I think. But anywho.
That probably will. I'm probably gonna cut that. I got the Colton face. I got the disapproval.
I'm the built-in censor for this show, but I agree, because so much of the like male-centered like emo, right? And a lot of it was like male-centered emo music that we grew up on. Mm-hmm. Is very chaste in a lot of ways, and like we mentioned it with Brand New. I know in Thursday. You're exactly right. It is like, well, how we've been sort of desensitized to our own sexuality and things. Mm-hmm. I think parts of the Yeah 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 that I really love are the ones that feel the most vulnerable and open, but also liberated like that. And I don't know what you think, my narrative that I was getting and kind of constructing as I was going through the records is like, it's a very almost kind of paint by the numbers rock and roll narrative, where there's this just like wild and unruly band. And then when they get leashed, and I feel like they get leashed, and maybe they do it themselves, maybe they're trying to practice constraint. Like, I never like to project what I think their intent is in any record, but like, I think when they want to be exciting, they're very exciting. And then sometimes I was just very bored. I think when I texted you and I was like, I'm not having a fun time with Yeah Yeah Yeahs. And some of that was like me struggling with why certain records weren't really hitting with me. And at the end of the day, I was just like, some of them, like I actually got sleepy.
Which is incredible, because there's such an energetic vibe to a lot of it. But I don't know. I think it's a stark contrast from the band that we discussed last time. Like, going from the Decemberists to the Yeah Yeah Yeahs is such a jump and such a different twist to how you can be an effective artist. You know,
their purpose is very different.
Very, very different. To where, I mean, the Decemberists it's a very refined vocalist. The music can be playful and everything, but for the most part, it still sticks within this particular emotional spectrum that with the Yeah Yeah Yeahs, like the Yeah Yeah Yeahs are, that's a Blood, Sweat, and Tears type of band. Not to be confused with the band Blood, Sweat, and Tears, who are just, that title is misleading. but I mean, they're a band where they just put all of themselves into it, and it can be hit and miss, I guess, but for the most part, every record I liked.
This is going to be a very interesting discussion.
I think again, you are going to be Colton. I think that anybody who's listening to the podcast at this point understands what I'm saying with, you're going to be Colton and I'm going to be Rob, or I'm going to be more the apologist and kind of put them into a better light. And you're going to be the hot take Colton.
Let me say, I'll say it this way. I really admire the Yeah Yeah Yeahs, and I am glad that they're like, they just put out a record last year, right? Mm-hmm. That was the last one they did. Cool It Down.
Cool It Down.
And I don't know if I have anything from that record. I actually thought that was great. I didn't think it was, it's not my best album from them. I don't think any categories from that for me.
I love the fact it was 32 minutes long. That really made it much easier to.
Man, I don't know if I've said this before in this podcast, but 8 or 9 track records, I really like.
Yeah, it's good. And I like what she said when it came to when they released the album, where she was asked, you know, like, what have you guys been up to? And she's like, the same thing everybody else has been up to. That's what the album's kind of about.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Tori, I mean, it's fairly post pandemic by the time it was coming in. Yeah. And I mean, even that first song, actually, you know what? I may be going to that song.
Well,
as per usual, everybody, I don't have all my categories noted out.
And I have all of them out here.
Oh, yeah.
Ready to go.
There's a good balance between us.
Yeah. The only thing I want to say is, in all those, like, that prefacing, that I admire them. And I agree with you that there's a kind of, like, earnestness in some of their songs. Where I'm putting songs, not records, songs that, like, I don't think my, for example, I think what we're just about to talk about for me is kind of a fastball down the middle.
Okay.
In terms of best song, but I don't feel that in all their stuff. And I think sometimes they get by off of that New York cool.
Oh,
that
yes.
Bothers me. And that, I think that's the thing, Rob, that aura of like New York hipster indie stuff. It's repellent to me.
I don't like the fact that there's a genre called New York punk. I don't like that. It's so esoteric to where just whatever you're from New York. I don't need to. I would prefer you be from Jersey at this point, but it's like, there's so much. I mean, I'm so glad. I remember us saying this when we were in My Friend Sam, to where it's just, I don't want to be labeled a Los Angeles band.
Yeah.
You know? I don't want to.
There's an image of Los Angeles band that you instantly get, that is like, we've played with bands who are Los Angeles bands, and it's very like, I don't know, like back in the day it was like they looked like they came out of an Abercrombie and Fitch like catalog, and there's usually some kind of scarf involved
I mean, it's the weirdest thing to me. I'm like, I don't care where you're from. Conor Oberst, you're a good songwriter. Could care less about Nebraska. That just, it's fine. Yeah, you're from Omaha. That's great, man. Don't care. And at that point, if so many bands are coming out of there, I'm going like, there's something fishy going on. why are we just paying attention to these? There's like some dude who's from, you know, like a couple miles away. So like, do I have to say I'm from Omaha? Because I don't sound anything like these guys, but that's my best chance of getting listeners.
At some point, it just becomes like when you hear a band from one of those like scenes, and that you're like, something's not right. They're not as this good to be getting this exposure. And then I almost always guess that it's like somebody's relative or friend or something. I'm like, okay.
There's like nepotism going on with this. I don't care where you're from. By the way, we are L.A. based podcast.
So yeah, we're L.A. based. We're soaking up all the. We're Moscow based podcast.
That's right.
We're soaking up all the Moscow listens. Please don't leave, Moscow listener. We want to cultivate you. We're very excited that you're joining us. Okay, let's get this started.
Here we go. Best song. Oh, so it's on me.
I'm looking at you. I have it, but I think I'll start with you.
Okay. Something Like a Phenomenon. I've always loved that song. And you know what? It almost took a terrible turn for me, because I've always, that song has always been my song. That's what I go to. I listen to that song regularly. The rest of their discography, I don't really listen to all that often. But that song, or I'm sorry, it's called Phenomena. Sorry, diehard Yeah fans. But apparently they are sampling an LL Cool J song.
Oh, they're not sampling Gold Line. It sounds like Gold Line. Like, exactly.
Well, Gold Lion sounds like something like Phenomenon to me. But
Phenomena.
Like, yes, yeah, you're right.
What LL Cool J song are they sampling?
It's called Phenomena.
This is not an LL Cool J podcast. I don't know.
No, I mean, he's got some cool songs.
My head is like a shark fin. Deepest, bluest. But that's
perfect. Yeah. But no, that song's cool. The drums are rad. It's another one of those songs from her to where it's very sexually driven, to where it's like, don't fall asleep with the motor running. It's kind of going like, she'll make you sweat in the water, to where it's like, don't pass up this opportunity to get laid, you know, which I find to be very yes. And she, like I said, she's a very sexually empowered Fireball. You know, and I don't know. I don't know how that came across, but
that's going to be on their next record, like the thing, very sexually empowered. Dot 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 dot. I don't know. Fireball.
Rob
McGregor said that about me. Oh my god.
Man,
well, and let's say this about the Yeah Yeah Yeahs. Like, I always mention the special sauce, right, for these bands I've been listening to, and she's very clearly right. She's the thing that drives that band. Like,
absolutely.
I mean, the music, I think different tracks where, like, the guitar and stuff that kind of comes in. But I don't think, like, the drummer and the guitar or any of the other kind of instruments that they start to texture in, like, really stand out as much as it's the persona she has.
Yes.
Right? Yeah. That drives so much of it. They kind of live or die off of, like, how Karen O is driving each track. And I think Phenomena is one of those songs where I kind of forgot it was Yeah Yeah Yeahs when I heard Show Your Bones, and like even like some of the other ones, I was like, oh, this is a Yeah Yeah Yeahs song. Like I heard Maps way back in the day and I never got the record, even though I kind of thought I was going to. And then from there on, I would just hear different songs like in commercials and things and go, oh, and now it's all coming back to me. That was Yeah Yeah Yeahs that was behind a lot of that.
Certainly. Yeah. And while I think Phenomena is that was the obvious choice for me when we first started off, but their song Runaway on It's Blitz, if I would have given up because of LL Cool J, that would have been my choice.
That's, I gotta be here. Very quickly, I gotta remind myself about Runaway.
Pause podcast.
I was feeling sad, can't help looking back. Highways flew by. Run, run away. No sense of time. I'd like you to stay. Want to keep you inside. Run, run, run away.
You're not going to be able to soak it all in right this second. Skip ahead a little bit.
I'm reminding myself of that.
Want you to be my pride.
Run away. And you know, she does it all the time where she just repeats the same lyric over and over again. There are some, when it, just looking or going online to try to read the lyrics, it's funny how it's just like some songs, it's like it's four sentences.
It's
one stanza and that's a song.
And sometimes I think that's where, like, I'm trying to explain my disconnect with some of their discography. I think it comes into my knowledge that they are such a great live band and she is just a great performer. Like,
Fireball.
Really great performer out there.
Yeah.
But I do think that's sometimes a disconnect when I listen to their records. Is it's like certain bands, it's kind of like Thursday, where they're just a great live band, but I don't always think it translates well to the record because there's like a lot of like force, right, behind those lyrics and how you repeat them. And sometimes that works on a record, but other times, like with Runaway, I liked it. I think there's some highlights on that record for me, but overall, that record's kind of a, I don't know. That's one where I was explaining why it felt kind of like boring.
Yeah, well, I mean, I know from talking to friends, the opening of It's Blitz really turns them off just because it's so dancey. But even, I mean, I saw an interview with them where they were going over the whole album of It's Blitz, and they're like, oh, what do I think of when I think of the first song? Party, 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 party. And I was like, that's great. There's nothing wrong with that. They honestly, every Yeah 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 song to me, it seems like they have a little bit of that like dance punk in the early days. And then they just turn into dance, or for the most part, because Karen O's your front man, you kind of dive into that. She wants to dance around on stage and have like a party atmosphere to it. And I don't think there's anything necessarily wrong with that. And fortunately, they do have those. When I say they're a blood, sweat, and tears band, they have the tears songs, you know? And so I like the fact that they can, that they find a way to put that in and it doesn't feel like it's misplaced in throwing it into this album.
Well, I think that's a great segue into my favorite. And I told you before, my favorite is not going to be like a huge shock. There was something where when you said Yeah, Yeah, Yeahs, in the back of my head, I was like, okay, my goal is to not have Maps be best song from Yeah Yeah Yeahs. And then I listened to the entire discography and I still think that is the best song they've ever written. And I think the idea of like, and they're not a one hit wonder by any stretch, because some of these other songs have been successful. I don't think they've ever been. I actually don't know what the kind of, and I don't care how they've charted, but I do know from when I first heard Maps, it gave me a certain idea of who they were as a band. And it was around the same time as all those other garage bands, right, quote unquote, were coming out. And I think they got kind of lumped into
that. They were definitely lumped. That's another cool element behind them is the fact that they were lumped into the, what is it called? The garage rock revival.
Right.
The garage rock revival scene. Yes.
We were technically playing around the time of the garage. We were a part of the garage rock revival. We were in the garage.
We just stuck to garage rock.
We just stuck. We didn't revive. We just stayed in the garage.
But
I heard that song, and I think that to me is the window to when everything about the Yeah Yeahs works, because the drums and the guitar are just doing everything they need to without getting in the way. I love that bridge, that guitar.
Which apparently was a studio time decision. They apparently just did two like 1 minute demos, or maybe it was like one minute demo and then another one. But that bridge came in the studio on that recording. That's the first time that they had laid that part down.
And I think it really needs it, because everything else about it is so delicate, and it should be. Mm-hmm. And then it breaks open. But then I love that it goes back and it doesn't go harder than that in the chorus again. It's just like perfect kind of peak. And
I love when it does come out of that, when it comes back in and they hit that last chorus, she's still just wait, they don't love you. She's not pushing. She's not trying to be over the top. She's just like, no, I'm just singing it. I'm just trying to sing the emotion. And I like the fact that she still keeps herself reserved, not trying to push too much on the vocals.
And there's a lot of restraint, right? And I think, again, all this stuff
restraint
that comes
instead
after
of reserved. Gosh.
I just said a synonym. But what I guess I'm trying to explain is I think that for me is also why some of those later tracks that are trying to do hit a similar vein in that, they don't have the balance. Like Maps is a perfect balance to me. And the chorus, that's the song, right? And it's perfect because it's just vulnerable. There's nothing that's like, quote unquote, you know, lyrically like complex happening there. But we both know that's not what you need, right? All the time, if hardly ever. It's just her, like, although the fact that it's Maps, and I believe that is code, right? For like who is the guy?
The dude from The Liars. I can't remember his name.
He starts with an A though.
I'm not a huge Liars fan.
That's right.
But
I don't like,
I don't like liars. People, I can't deal with it. Man.
We're an anti-liars podcast.
That's right.
Pro truth. But the story behind the video, right? And that's the other thing. When I was saying before, they get by on a lot of cool. They're cool. Like Paranoia is cool, man. And when she puts like her hand up, like during that part, and they're just kind of rocking out, she's just moving there. That's just cool. That's the kind of performance thing that sticks out.
Yeah, I remember seeing that music video. I was like, is she crying?
She really was.
Yeah, and she really was, because he was supposed to be there and she was about to go on tour and she thought he wasn't going to show up. And she's like, this song's about you know, and you're not even showing up. You know, it was very touching. But what's our next category?
Our next category is worst song.
Can I go to overrated song?
Go ahead.
Maps.
Yep. I'm restraining my overrated. I'll hit mine right after yours because it's gonna fit kind of perfectly in this. Talk it out.
There you go. Maps. Keep, I mean, feelings. On that album, give me Poor Song to convey that toward. It's like, this is what the Yeah Yeahs are about. Toward that song is another love song, but she also has the little. She's really good at having hooks. Or not that this song is a hook or this part is a hook, but she's really good at having like groans. And again, this kind of fits into the sexuality behind the sound behind it. It's sex and rock and roll. I don't care what drugs they are on. Yeah. In fact, everybody out there, if you're really into bands, don't do their drugs. Just find your own vice.
We're an anti-liar, anti-drug podcast.
I'm not anti-drugs. I'm just saying, don't do everybody else's drugs. Find your drug.
Yeah. Oh my God.
But yeah, where she does that little like, and then the band kicks in with that tour. It's like she's doing the like her little like groany beatboxing. Like,
yeah.
That's a song that to me, and it, again, the one song, Runaway. Freaking, there's so many other songs that I think execute. I shouldn't say execute better than Maps, but if we're going with the term overrated, I have seen too many like Rolling Stones. This song is one of the like the top 300 greatest songs of all time. I'm just like, it's not even the best song by them to me.
I believe that though. Like I actually think it's the only song of theirs that I think is truly a great song. And I understand like,
yeah, we're on opposite sides of that.
It's easily overrated because it's rated very highly. And so yeah. It's like, well, and I think if you're someone who like spends a lot more time with the Yeah, Yeah, Yeahs, like any mm-hmm. other band, right? It's going to be one. I mean, it's covered all the time by a lot of bands that are not very good.
And you know what's
some
what's kind of, yeah. What's very funny though, is when you were saying you were trying your best to avoid saying that this was the best song, I was trying my very best to avoid saying it was an overrated song by them. Because I do really like the song, but just going through everything, when I think of the term overrated, mm-hmm. that song kind of, it just fits the bill.
See, now I have to tell you, my overrated is zero.
Oh, God. I thought for sure you were going to say Phenomena.
But no, but, and, yeah. No, I like Phenomena. I do. I'm not saying, I'm doing that noise we always make.
Yeah, perfect.
I just zero that whole record, clearly. And there's one track on that record that I have in an upcoming category that's positive. But overall, it's just a nothing burger. Like, it's not my worst record from them. But it's, I think, because it's dancey. But it's dancey in a way that, to me, feels very washed out. And that's the problem with zero. Is it doesn't, I feel kind of crazy when I was even like listening to like takes on that song. Cause I did a new approach this time around. I was trying to find like what like songs of theirs charted relatively high or like that people like it got a lot more attention and were like put on different lists. And Zero is one that people talk about. Like, oh yeah, that was like Pitchfork or something said it's like one of the best songs of that year. And I felt crazy cause it was like super high energy, super all these things. And I was like, I get none of that. From that song, I think the way the guitar stays really static and everything about even like that move from the verse to the chorus, it's all like it's a plateau. They have dancey songs that I like more than that, for sure. Like I don't know, it's weird.
I have a feeling I will be touching upon that later.
Maybe, because I do. I think they've done that better. I think Zero in particular, though, it's one of those overrated because I don't necessarily think it's an awful song, but I do not understand how it's got the reputation that it's got. Where to me, it feels more like a shoulder shrug. Like there's no energy. Like I listen to that and like it's not the same band that wrote anything off of Fever to Tell. I think that's what I was talking about before about them being leashed. They feel very leashed.
I can see it, but at the same time, I can also see, you know, that scene in The Matrix. I can't remember which episode or which episode it was, but where it's just like they're all dancing because it's just like, hey, we may die soon. That's kind of what Zero is, to where it's just like, just dance.
There's not the Matrix.
That's understandable. That's understandable. But I mean, there's that substance to that song where it's just like, this is just to dance. It's like I said before, when they were asked about that song, it's like party, party. You know, and I think Karen O said that, you know, we're all zeros. So it's just like, that's kind of the whole focus of that song seems to be just to dance. As not a dancer, turns me off a little bit.
We do dancing while sitting down. We're skilled at that.
In private, though.
Can I say very quick, I forgot to mention this when we were talking about Maps. I didn't know this before. Maybe you knew it. I, through my research, quote unquote, Wikipedia, did you know that when Kelly Clarkson, I don't remember the dude that
yes, wrote, I
since
didn't.
He'd been gone, Let me explain it. So the whole thing is, I guess this songwriter, quote unquote, putting that in heavy quotes, was listening to Maps and having conversations with Kelly Clarkson before her first record about the song Maps. And he was saying, oh, it's this like really great song. And then they get to the chorus and it gets really kind of just quiet. And it's like remains this like kind of quiet. And
yeah, he says like as the song's going, it hits like a 6 rating, a 7 rating. And then when it hits the chorus, it dives back down to the 5 rating.
Right. You and know, for him, that was, and he wanted to write the song again.
He needed that big pop chorus.
Yeah, and that's how Since You've Been Gone. And when you listen to it, which I had never put that together, and I guess it's been something that people have talked about a lot, and I listened to Since You've Been Gone again, and I was like, oh my God, it is. It's Maps, but a worse version of Maps. But see, and this goes back to, we've already had a similar kind of thing with Vampire Weekend and Beyonce.
They got the Yeah Yeah Yeahs, I found out, got writing credit for that song. So Beehive, I'm sorry if I said any, I can't really remember if I said anything. If Beyonce gave credit to them.
I think that's the other thing about Maps, though, for me, for why it's their greatest, is it feels elemental in the way that they put it together. And you see all these other songwriters who were like leeching off of it because
it apparently struck a nerve that just, I don't see why Kelly Clarkson got a hit song out of it and Beyonce got a hit song out of it.
So many people are benefiting from Maps. Yeah. Who knew? But anywho, I'm glad we got that out because I had never even knew that was a thing. There you go. All right, so we are moving on to underrated. We're back. You know what? We can't be back because it's not underrated. We moved around. We got to go to worst song.
All right, worst song.
Worst song.
Mosquito.
Oh my God, Mosquito. I have Mosquito too. It's awful. Sorry.
Yeah, that's a terrible song. That's funny though. That was the only one that just popped to me. It's just like, this is a bad song. This is a bad song. It's. The chorus, I'm not saying the chorus is terrible, but it's the fact that eventually she starts saying they're under your bed. And I'm going like, you don't even know what your metaphor is anymore.
And here's the thing, at some point over the song, I kept thinking, what is the metaphor? Is it like bloodsuckers, like people are taking your energy? And then at some point I was like, I think it's just about mosquitoes. And then like you said, and I'm like, maybe it's about bed bugs and mosquitoes, like any...
Yeah, the song loses itself to me. It's one of those... Especially on that album, it seems like, well, we gotta have a rocker. We gotta make sure we have rockers. Where that just, I don't think it's the worst thing that's ever happened. It's not something where I think it's like, just when it comes to music in general, that's a bad song. Yeah. But when it came to everything that I was listening to by them, that was the one that just kept rearing its ugly head.
We're not in emotive territory for sure, at least on the Colton scale. I agree. But I do, it's just one of those songs that makes you scratch your head because it's also like they named the record Mosquito.
And
like,
after it,
it's got mosquitoes in the video. It's all mosquitoes. I'm like, they were like really into mosquitoes. I'm like,
are you guys the bloodsuckers?
I did the same thing. I was like, what is the metaphor? That phone is like, there is no metaphor. I think this is about mosquitoes. And I hate like the, she and they're not the only ones who do this. Mosquito live, mosquito die. I was like,
Yeah, it's. Yeah, and she just does the different registers of saying bloodsuckers, or they'll suck your blood.
Yeah.
They'll suck your blood. They'll suck your blood. Come on. I'm sure it's great live. You know?
Yeah, maybe everyone's just like, it's the mosquito. And like, I do know that when they did that record, like the whole story is they wanted to kind of get back to like renting like a kind of cruddy band space and do, but I just feel like, I don't know. I'll even just hint very quickly that whole record for me is the biggest kind of like just confused. It just leaves me confused because my special mention for worst song is it was Mosquito for me, but Area 52 was the other one.
I had a feeling you were going to bring that up. The only reason I'm cool with it is because the metaphor lands to me and it's got a like Iggy Pop vibe to it. It sounds like something that Iggy Pop, if he was still had the same energy level that he had back in the 70s, but he had the resources, he would make a song like that.
I think it was the way it was even in the record. And like, I agree with you. It's probably wasn't my worst one because when I listened to Mosquito, I was like, well, Area 52 has something interesting about it, but it was also, I think it's just goofy. And it I don't goofy. Necessarily think Yeah 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 does goofy very well. I think, like...
Yeah, yeah, like, I think- I don't disagree, but I don't agree.
Humorous. Like, yeah. I think there's a line between, like, in some of the songs in Fever to Tell, where, like, oh, I'm going to forget it. But it's the one where on Fever to Tell, she's like, guys, don't be a bee.
Oh, yeah. I think you're talking about Black Tongue.
It is Black Tongue. Yeah. Like, I think that song is hilarious.
It's great. And that's another one where I think I said it earlier, to where the hook of that song is groaning and then a quick, like, at the top, to where it's a song that doesn't take itself too serious. Whereas Area 52, I can see where it doesn't land quite in the same vein, but Mosquito is one where it just doesn't land that way.
Those are like B-52's territory for me, where I'm like, we're like full on, like, weird.
Area B-52?
Yeah, which we don't want to be in. I don't necessarily think we want to. Well, hey, we
found... And the title is terrible. When Area 52 is just like, oh, God. Yeah, I get it. You're talking about aliens. But...
I just want to be around them when they wrote, like, Fit Mosquito, and they're like, that's got to be the name. Like, I feel like they, like, had a summer where they're getting a lot of mosquito bites, and Karen was like, I gotta do this.
I think, like, Subway, I hope that, I have a feeling that's not coming up, but Subway was one of the coolest samples I've ever heard. The rail sound. You know, and that's the percussion behind the whole song. I thought that was so cool.
What is your...
And cheesy. And cheesy, but I thought it was so cool.
See, it's funny because I remember that, and I remember kind of rolling my eyes. I was like, I get it. Like, there's so...
But if you listen to the demo of it, it's actually... That song's good on its own. You know, I waited. I think that's... I like that song probably more than Maps.
We gotta keep rolling to get to where I think we're eventually headed. But we moved around a little bit. We gotta get to underrated. Underrated song. I'll start because I think I'm gonna get you back into your good graces. Dull Life off of It's Bliss.
Oh, that is so good.
It's a really cool song. And here's what I'm talking about. That is the one song, minus maybe a couple others, but it's really the one where when I was listening to It's Bliss, I was nodding off. Like I was actually in sleepy, and that it you know what it is? It's got like a Modest Mouse kind of vibe where when the guitar kicks in, and whenever the vocalist and the guitarist are going to that same melody,
yeah,
it just always seems to work. Like it's not something I think you can go to too much, but
and it's almost the opposite for me because that song starts off duller.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Bravo, you guys. But then when that part kicks in, I'm just kind of like, oh God, let's see where it goes. And then just everything fits perfectly. It's when it starts with that, give me one sec, because I do know the song. Right when that hits, though, at first I was just, okay, this could be really good or really bad. But as it just keeps building, and when it comes back into the part where she's singing along with that melody, it's the perfect resolve. And it's like, oh, great song. I'm in.
And that's what I thought Zero was missing. Like, I'm right with you. Like, sometimes it's just give us, like, a dance tune that is, like, funky and great. And I think they can do that, but... they gotta have like a sharpness to it. Like Zero is all like just like kind of trebly to me and like very kind of flat. And this song is they need that angular guitar, right, to kind of cut through it to me for it to really kind of pay off. And I thought it was great.
Yeah. And my original image of the band was okay, you don't have a bass player. Or I'm like, the guitars really need to hit. And just there's certain songs where I'm like, where is the guitar? But apparently, I watched a 16-minute documentary on why Maps changed the landscape of music. And they were talking, they called, what's his name, Nick, the guitarist, what's his name? What's the name of all the members? So there's Karen O, Nick something, and the drummer, I always
Karen O, Nick Zinner, and Brian Chase. Yeah, Nick Zinner is a guitarist, keyboardist.
Yeah, well, and in that documentary, they called him a guitarist / a synth maestro,
which makes sense because they've definitely slipped more into synth pop, right?
But maestro just seems a little too that makes it sound a little more advanced than it is. Because the thing I like about them is there is such a simplicity and kind of an innocence to their creation of the music. Whereas, yeah, with that song, that's not, it's not super creative to me. It's just, it all comes together in the right vibe.
Yeah. You know? And it was, I think for as much as I was unimpressed with that record, that's why it was like a great underrated for me. Cause I was like, you know what? And I think it was even like yesterday when I re-listened to it, cause this was the category I was the most worried about hitting. And I was like, no, I actually, I got to give it to him. I like it.
Yeah. And it's a tough one for me for underrated. In fact, let me go ahead and grab this 50 cent coin piece.
Is heads, this underrated? Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So we're on underrated. Heads. It'll be Spitting Off the Edge of the World, or Tails. It's going to be Heads Will Roll.
Okay.
Heads. I don't need to flip the damn thing. I mean, come on. It's those two. Those are the two songs. I can't choose which one I find to be more underrated.
You scripted that.
No, I didn't. I swear to God, I didn't. There was, I had a 50 cent coin piece out there, and the whole time we were talking about Dull Life, I was just like, man, I'm still torn between Spitting Off the Edge of the World and freaking Heads Will Roll.
I really like Spitting Off the Edge of the World. When I was telling you that last record, I enjoyed it. Mm-hmm. That's the song I'm mostly thinking of. Because like I like Perfume Genius. And I feel like Yeah, Yeah, Yeahs is... That last record is like, it feels like they're kind of adopting that new, like very synth heavy, very kind of slow, bombastic, right? Yeah. And I didn't think it would work, but that... works.
Yeah, and that's a dude who sings in it, right?
Yeah.
But no, that one, that's a song to where I'll go with Spitting Off the Edge of the World, because I think Heads Will Roll is another, it's kind of like Zero, where it's just kind of a, that the whole point of the song I think is like, cut off your head, dance. Mm-hmm. don't think, just dance. Whereas Spitting Off the Edge of the World, it almost breaks my heart. Because, like, they never had a chance. And I'm like, you know, with the way global warming is, I mean, not to get too dark on everybody, we like to be a little more lighthearted. But the world's in a precarious situation. And that song...
We are the band playing on the Titanic, this podcast.
Yeah, exactly. We're gonna make the soundtrack for all of us going down. Song hits that, you know?
And really agree with you on it. That track is a great example. Is when I always try to put a finger on with each band, each songwriter, like, where is it for me that they're in the pocket? And sometimes it's musically, and I've been kind of even as we're talking, I'm trying to figure it out. And mm-hmm. I think it's more in the attitude in which they're approaching whatever the subject is. Yeah. It doesn't always have to be super serious, and the songwriting doesn't always have to be the same thing. But it's like this pocket they're in terms of the attitude that all components of the song are taking. And I think it's just kind of like earnestness, but also this kind of like stoicism and just kind of like, you know, it's the end of it. Who cares? Like there's that freedom you're talking about and it doesn't always have to mean the music is like super high energy. It's not always, and it still works. I think that's a great example because it could be like a downer of a song just because it's so slow. It's got like, actually remind me a lot of Fun. We Are Young. That vibe.
I don't know why it reminded me of MGMT.
But I could see that.
Yeah, it just kind of had that vibe. And MGMT has a little bit of that like doomsday dancey vibe.
Yeah, kind of stonery sludge thing too. Yeah. But I didn't think it would work, but you're right. I thought most of that record I thought worked because of that. And that's a great, you know what? I'll change it. I'll make it that one too. Or aside, I just want to be like,
why don't you just keep your own damn voice, man?
Jeez. I just want to be like you. You're coming in with good stuff.
Believe me, you don't.
You can. All right. I think we've made our way to our album discussion. This was hard for me because what I was hinting at the beginning is there's songs of Yeah, Yeah, Yeahs that I really enjoy. I think Record Rise, it actually is very similar to The Hives for me. And I realize this, I actually have to like go back to like change my opinion on The Hives, because there's a lot of Hive songs that I really love, but I think the whole record of The Hives sometimes doesn't always work for me. Like because it feels like they're writing in a mode and the records don't always feel like they're kind of like have any dynamics to them. So I think Yeah, Yeahs is better than that.
I get it. You just don't like the garage rock revival scene. Just no good, no good albums out of that.
I mean, that's true, but it's not false. Yeah. But Show Your Bones is the one when I think about, and initially it wasn't. Initially I heard that record. And
it's interesting because you said, let's get into our album discussion. You didn't say best album or worst album. You just said our album discussion.
It's,
I don't think there's a best or worst. It's so weird, but okay, show your both.
What's weird, I kind of agree with you, but I think we agree for different reasons.
I do have a selection.
They're very middle heavy to me. Like no record to me, I'm just going to say, no record to me is actually very good. Like there are ones that are solid.
I think you nailed it. We agree and disagree on it, on that point.
I figured.
But again, agree is still a part of that because I agree.
But I think disagree. Show Your Bones is the most consistent. Even though when I first heard it, I kind of rolled my eyes because it's very like New Yorker, like wears a cowboy hat and goes to Coachella for the first time, kind of like acoustic folk music. Like it has like some of like that kind of grittiness and texture, right, of like country or folk, but it also gets kind of washed out and it feels a little bit performative. But when I go back and listen to it again, like Gold Lion, which is not like this amazing track by any stretch, but it's just a solid song.
And it is addressing, like it's addressing the rest of the album. I think I've used this before, but it kind of like steers what the point of the album is to where it, like, I guess they got a Gold Lion Award or something. I can't remember.
For a advertising.
Yeah, for Adidas, right?
Yeah, which...
Yeah. Very strange, but they didn't want to make the same album as Fever to Tell. And so it's kind of nice that Gold Lion nods its way in there. Way Out is cool. Fancy, I think, is rad.
Yeah, it's, I thought, like, for some reason, Way Out's the one with, like, all those ones, like, da, 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 da,
da, da. Yeah. Way Out.
I think we both agree with this. Like, those, like, kind of note heavy songs, like, I'm always kind of there for. I don't know. Always reminds me of Death Cab for Cutie, too.
Honestly, this was also my selection for best album by them, and so I mean, it's good. We're
starting on a good note, and by the way, I'm not like, oh, I hate Show Your Bones. I couldn't like say it and make it sound like I love this record. I like a lot of it.
I think Show Your Bones is badass. I'm sorry. I think Fever to Tell is very badass, but I think Show Your Bones is the one where I feel like they're really in their element. You know,
they hit like more of a consistent pocket, I think, in terms of the songs feel like they're building on each other and there's different shades to things. I think that's the thing that gets me kind of down on some of those later records is they kind of wash out because the songs don't differentiate from each other enough for me.
Yeah. Like, it almost seems like they reach a point of to where they, I don't want to say this convicted to it, but it feels like there are times where they're not even sure what was the word you said where you were talking about, like, leashed.
Yeah.
To where they kind of feel leashed where we have to do this. And it just, it doesn't come across as organically to me with something like a song like Mosquito. That would be a song where it's just, okay, it feels like you're just forcing it. You got to do this right now. And let's write something heavy. Whereas it feels like on Show Your Bones, it feels like all of the songs have their necessity for them to create.
And they're playing a role right within that collection. I need to shout out Cheated Hearts, which is just like a really solid, great kind of like rock pop song. And then Dudley.
Yeah. Dudley's cool.
Which that melody is a lot of fun. I know it's like, it's got like a nursery rhyme element to it. But I think that's the thing that the playoff of it is nice.
Absolutely. Well, and actually give me 1 second with Dudley. Yeah, I just want to hear the melody again. This could be on the podcast already. I mean, this just could be Dudley playing in the background.
Could be. Very well.
Yeah. I just want to hear the hook really quick. Oh yeah, that song's so pretty, man. And then Mysteries is right after it, and I think Mysteries is cool as hell.
It's a very solid record. I think my problem with it is none of the songs to me, like in terms of just like a song that really hits me impactfully, where I'm just like really just like into everything and I get the message, and it is like there's like a kind of revelation or anything like that. There's it doesn't really hit a high enough needle for me where I'm like, it's a record I want to listen to all the time. But it's also just like a number of just like good songwriters like working on all cylinders, and it's like very, I respect it a lot.
I don't know. It seems like it has such a good high-low relation, or it's just like energetic, emotional. I like that their ebb and flow to their albums. Like, to me, that is a really good album. And the previous one, which, for God's sakes, Rob, Fever to Tell. Yes.
Yeah. I'm your notepad.
That's right. That's right. Handy dandy notepad over there.
So we agree on best album. I didn't think that was going to happen.
No, and you know, there was a part of me that felt that if you were going to choose this, I was going to do my, okay, I'll choose a different one. But on this one, I just felt like that was the right answer.
So what is your worst album?
This was so difficult. It's between Mosquito and Cold's in the title. Cool It Down. Yeah, it's between Mosquito and Cool It Down.
Can I help you out?
Sure.
I think it's Mosquito.
Ugh.
Tell me, okay, defend Mosquito to me.
I think Despair and Wedding Song and Always, I think those are really good songs. I think the last half of the album.
I wish I had a video. I gave a, oh, honey. I'm trying to look.
I know. I just, I'll go with Mosquito, but man, those last three songs I think are so good.
I'm going to agree with you that when I was like listening through and not enjoying myself through most of Mosquito, I thought Despair was the one that kind of made me like arch my eyebrow. And I wish I could put into better language what it is about the Yeah, Yeah, Yes, where I just really can't like root for anything in like a really hardcore way or feel like I can really just get into anything. Because there's so much about them that I admire.
Yeah,
I think
it was because I think I started it all off when we were I suggested it the last episode. And then I think at one point I either shot you a text or I called you and maybe we were just having a casual conversation. And I'm like, I'm almost regretting this one because I was still in that same mindset. But somehow it all started really sinking in and I started really enjoying myself listening to it.
And I think I definitely did at different points, but I think other ones, it was more when I told you, I texted you and said, like, I'm not having a fun time. I think it wasn't like, oh, I'm miserable. I hate all these songs. It was more like, I never like when I can't kind of fully articulate to myself why I'm not connecting to something the way I think I should be. Oh, and yeah. It's hard. It's difficult. I think a lot of it is there's just a register that they're hitting emotionally that it's just not on my frequency. And I'm willing to admit that.
I would hate you if you were just trying to be fake.
That's right.
You know, discussing this. So, I mean, it's more power to you. But, I mean, I hope someday you'll get to enjoy the Yeah, Yeah, Yeahs as much as I did over the last week.
It feels very much like the Hives is the thing. Where I feel like I really respect the Hives in terms of, like, man, they can really crank out a good kind of grunge punk sounding song and it'll just work, and it feels like they can just do that in their sleep. And their new song they just came out with does it again, and I was like, wow, they did another one. And it's
by
just,
the way, just a quick sidebar, that music video, did you watch
amazing.
That
amazing
that music really video is incredible good. But really took me out of nowhere. My bandmates, I woke up and this is when I was sick, and hey, new music videos up for the Hives, cool. I literally just woke up and I'm watching. I'm like, man, this is a lot of blood.
I love Evil Dead. And I mean, that's not a controversial thing. But Bogus Operandi, I was. And the fact that it's called The Death of Randy Fitzsimmons is perfect.
Yes, yeah, that's incredible.
And the story behind it, where they found these tapes, right? That he was.
Well, and I guess he said something really cool. We're touching back to the Hives really quick, everybody.
Why not?
But Pele, he said somewhere, somebody was asking if like this is a more mature album. He's like, no, we're never going to have a more mature album. Like, this is rock and roll. It's lame to have a more mature album. We're going to go have fun.
Yeah. And I think it's a perfect example. Like, when I read that, I was like, it's a perfect explainer for who the Hives are, and it's also a perfect explainer for why at different points it's hard for me to dive back into the Hives.
Yeah. And so, well, let's just bring this full circle.
And that's exactly
kind of fit into the same vein.
It feels like it to me. I feel like even with their older, like their newer releases that are striking a slightly more mature tone, I think that it feels like mechanically I admire them, but I also like there's just something missing in it to me. Maybe it's like somewhat of an emotional register that I just like I can't fit into that pocket.
It can also honestly just be a sonically based thing. Like there are artists that I respect that just the sound that comes in just doesn't sound appeasing to me. It doesn't sound pleasant to me, or it doesn't have that. I mean, I find it hard to believe that be the case, but I'm just saying that could be an element to it.
I also though, like Mosquito is oof. And like I said, Despair, I'll ride with that for sure.
Yeah.
But overall, like when I'm thinking of like where all of them are kind of lumped in the middle for me, and like Show Your Bones is like just barely out in front. I think Fever to Tell is right after that.
Honestly, their EP that launched their career is so good. Well, I think it's just self-titled, isn't it? Just
This is after that.
Never mind. Yeah. Is their EP in 2002? That I almost cursed. I'm fighting it. That is so good. Their song, I really feel this is necessary to throw out there. For anybody who was just, you know, last episode when I said we're listening to the Yeah, if you only listen to their albums, their EP, Yeah, is so good. Art Star and Our Time, those are cool songs. I wish that they would have brought them back in for later albums. I wish they would have brought them back in because they're very... I shouldn't say very rough, but they're rougher. They're a lot more raw recordings, but they're good songs. Those are good songs.
So we got
that would be my favorite album if I went outside of.
There we go. That's
if I went outside of LPs.
So are we ready for ratings then?
I think so.
Okay. Now you are the official historian for this podcast in terms of ratings. I'm always amazed by your ability to remember.
Yeah, but my capacity for knowledge is very low, so I don't know if I remember all of them. Yeah,
I do remember that I have been in and around that 5 to 8 range. I believe I gave the Decemberists.
You have literally gone both higher and lower than me.
Okay, different points.
At different points. So I'm hovering in the same area, and I'm probably going to do it again.
Okay, I'll start. I thought about this, not a lot.
this is the most intrigue I've ever been by your rating.
Well, I think this speaks, I think actually, even though this rating is very difficult for me, and I also just know it's arbitrary, it doesn't matter all the time.
Yeah.
But I actually think this is a perfect way to sum up how I feel about the Yeah, given everything I've said about them.
Okay.
6 out of 10. They are because, and I take that very, 5 out of 10 to me is not like a failing grade, right? It's not a 50, like an F. It is like just down the middle. And I always remember Weezer. It's like my guiding star.
That is kind of the Mendoza line.
Cause 4.9 of that is all the stuff they've done after the 0.1 is Say It Ain't So.
Exactly.
That's not true.
No,
but I really do think, on average, when I listen to the Yeah, I have a good time. Especially, I think if I wasn't listening to these records, like trying to really generate an opinion, I likely would have enjoyed myself more. But I'll also be honest, I don't think I'm going to go back to listen to a lot of Yeah after this. And not like in a, but it's
that's,
more.
That's interesting you say that, because before I get into my rating, which I will, I promise everybody. What band out of all the bands we've covered, which one have you gone back and listened to? Because I think I've told you once we're done, I'm just like, I'm for the most part, I'm kind of done. Like Weezer, I haven't gone back to.
Yeah, I agree with you because we're also listening to the next band and I'm like dipping into other stuff that I listen to. I really probably don't after.
Yeah, the Decemberists I've gone back to because, man, I really do love them. And they officially have my highest rating at 7.6. So based off of the last episode, it might have been very difficult to tell what my final rating was, but it was a 7.6.
I think we both do a very good, or the best job that we can in trying to talk through often very complicated kinds of feelings for or the mm-hmm. music that we listen to. And
we're trying to describe a color.
Sometimes, yeah. Right? I actually have a problem with like music critics and like journalism where like I used the word angular before and I almost want to slap my wrist. Like the adjectives that music critics use to describe music sometimes, it makes me wonder if they've ever heard music before.
Yeah.
And I'm always like, what's happening?
Yeah, when you use terms like that, I'm like, well, you're definitely not at the show.
Yes. Oh man. But tell me, what's your rating?
I think I'm gonna go with a 7.1.
Okay. I dig it.
Because I really did when we first started. To me, it was the switching from Decemberus to this was just such a such a abrupt shift that initially it just didn't hit me right. And I was like, I know I love this band. And it started really sinking in and it just kept growing. Initially, I was kind of at that 6, but just as I kept listening, it kept growing to the 7. And today, just doing my really last minute, some more homework, just let me listen to the songs that I really love. It gave them that extra 0.1. So I'm going to go 7.1.
I like the kind of pantheon we're building right now of these songwriters. Because I feel like, 5's been our lowest. And what's so funny, yours. Again, is it's mine. Of course it is.
6 is my lowest.
What's funny is Weezer is still probably the one that I think is like has like some of the best records of what we talked about.
Yeah.
So there we go. Okay, I'm going to have to put Weezer down on our bands we talked about list again. We got to... We got to wrap up, everyone.
Yes,
but
we
also,
do.
Also, this was a lot of fun. And I was actually kind of afraid of this episode.
Same here. Once we kind of dove into it, I realized that we both just almost had to find the words. And we helped one another with that. So
I enjoy. Well, and I also, can I get a little bit with you? Just a little bit? Like
I don't know what means.
It's just was that a Karen O lyric? Like Karen O, yeah.
That was, okay. Okay.
I'm 7.5. I think being able to talk to you about listening to this stuff and just have like a, I don't know, the way to think through music is so much fun to me. And it's also just a way to do something with you that I really like, which is think about music and art. And you're one of the best artists I know. And I always just have a fun time. So there you go.
I have a good time as well. And the feelings, it's not unrequited.
Hopefully other people also have fun. We don't know. Person in Moscow, let us know.
I was very happy when I looked and saw that we did have some new listeners, or we had more listens. I thought we were just going to stay at that number. I'll keep that number a mystery.
We're going to, and we're going to keep on trucking because we know it's a long climb to the top, but we're coming for who's number one? Is it Joe Rogan?
That's right. Joe Rogan, Howard Stern, you guys better watch it.
Watch it. We're coming. Serial or whatever NPR podcasts.
Office Ladies. I love you guys. I just love you guys.
We got to be like Kendrick Lamar. We don't want anyone to succeed. We're in the studio.
Except for Jenna Fisher and Angela Kinsey. I love you too.
Okay. Well, okay. I mean, now we've lost the edge. All right. We're getting close to our 10th episode. This is going to be for episode 9, the band I'm about to announce to you. And here's the
very
quick story.
Excited. Yes.
I had a band in mind that I actually told you, and then I actually kind of regretted telling you because it ruined the surprise of it. And
I feel like you told me 2 different bands.
That's true. And this is a newer one because literally as I was looking something up before we recorded today, I saw another band and it's like, I had forgotten about their existence, but I also know that I really, really enjoy them.
I can't wait to be looking forward to not listening to the band ever again.
Here is the clue for you.
All right.
New York.
Not facing New York, is it?
Michigan.
The Milk Carton Kids.
Milk Carton Kids.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
I want to do the Milk Carton Kids. I'm excited.
Wow. Well, I already said my favorite song by them. So everybody, next episode, it's going to be Michigan.
Or New York.
Or New York. Wow. All right. I'm in. That's great.
We are.
Everybody, get ready for a not so energetic band. This band is not going to be the same vibes as Yeah, Yeah, Yes.
I disagree. Get ready for that shredding.
Oh yeah,
absolute shred.
Well, yes, absolutely. That dude's a really good guitar player.
So let's get that out of the way. But also,
Milk Carton Kids. Wow,
Milk Carton Kids. Let's do it.
I wouldn't have guessed in a million years without
that. I wouldn't have ever thought guessed. About it.
Yeah.
Right. Everybody, enjoy the Milk Carton Kids. We hope you enjoy the EIAS. We hope you're just enjoying whatever day you're having.
That's right. This episode's in the rear view now.
It is.
Come on, Milk Carton Kids. We're coming.
Oh, my goodness. So please send us send us opinions. What are we asking for? Well,
you know what? For reals, everybody, I keep checking the email and so far, nothing. And I
can't check the email. It won't let me. But it is no.your.rights.podcast.
That's W-R-I-T-E-S.
W-R-I-T-E-S. Enjoy our Instagram. Enjoy. I mean, at this point, you know us. Text us and just say hi, I guess. Rob. Rob and tell him things you agree with and disagree with.
That's right. Moscow, let us know.
Yeah, let us know who you are and say hello. Yeah. We're happy to talk.
Yeah. I assume you're allowed to use email.
And we lost them.
just kidding, Moscow. Have a good one.
Have a good one, everybody. Enjoy whatever your day is. And thank you. We love you.